Radio.
A conversation with Father Chris Ryan, MGL, at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
With me right now, I've got Father Chris Ryan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Please give him a big warm welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
So first question is, there was a band this morning made up of many Missionaries of God's Love, and I don't believe you were up here.
That would be very, very true, because you really, really don't want me to sing. I promise.
So for those who've never met Father Chris before, tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure.
And then we'll see where this goes.
All right. So my name's Father Chris, and I come from Canberra because somebody has to. So all the Canberrans, I love you guys. So I grew up in Canberra. I'm a missionary of God's love. So tomorrow I celebrate my 13th anniversary of priesthood. So I was ordained 13 years ago. So thank you. So I know I don't possibly look old enough to be been a priest for 13 years, right? I became a priest because I felt that God really called me to that, and particularly because I wanted to really share the gospel of Jesus with young people. So that's the short answer. There's probably a longer story behind that.
You've probably told this story many times, but I know there's probably lots of new people out there who haven't heard this because they weren't a part of Sydney World Youth Day and they were too young. But tell us about the huge bit of involvement you had in World Youth Day in Sydney.
Sure. So when World Youth Day was announced that it was going to be held in Sydney in 2008, I was the parish priest of our parish in Canberra. So I thought that the way I'd be involved would be that I would take a group to World Youth Day from the parish.
Nope.
No. So I got a phone call from my superior, and he said, I've been to see Bishop Fisher, then Bishop Fisher, now Archbishop Fisher, and they've got a job for you if you want it. And so that job was to take the World Youth Day cross and icon of Our Lady all around Australia, which was, it took me about 10 seconds to say yes to that. It wasn't a tough decision. I thought that sounds like an amazing thing to be part of, and it was. And the nice part about that was that I'd actually encountered the cross before. So in 1992, I was finishing year 12, and the World Youth Day Cross made its first visit to Australia. And I went to the cathedral in Canberra, and I gave a little testimony underneath the cross there in 1992. So in 2007, I got a lot more closely acquainted with it and spent the next year travelling to every diocese in Australia, really with all sorts of events. We travelled about 90,000 kilometres. We estimate maybe 500,000 people came to an event with the World Youth Day Cross and Icon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you do it all by car, or were there some plane flights thrown in there around the place?
We tried to drive the car across Bass Strait, but it didn't work so well. So we caught the boat over to Tassie, and over to Tassie, all the Tasmanians here. Thanks, guys. So we caught the boat over to Tassie, and we flew to Perth after Tasmania. But apart from that, pretty much we drove the rest of the way.
Wow. What would be your best memory of someone you met or something that happened along that trip?
There are literally thousands of memories, and so picking the best one is really hard. I want to say I think one of my favourite things was something that happened every day with the cross, and that was just you'd watch a young person go up and touch this big cross. Who's seen the World Youth Day cross? Put your hand up. Who touched it when it came to Australia? All right. So most of you guys know what it looks like. 3.8 metres high, 1.75 metres wide. It's hard to miss. And the icon of Our Lady is a big, beautiful picture of Mary. And each time, you know, you'd see young people come up and they would touch it, and you just watch them get moved, or their reaction or response. And often you just talk to them and they'd say, what's going on? And sometimes they couldn't put words to it. They couldn't articulate what they'd experienced. But I would say, you know, it was the presence of God. It was the grace of God. It was the work of the Spirit of God touching them. And that was a beautiful thing to watch again and again. I mean, we went to some amazing places too. The cross went to Uluru, to the Great Barrier Reef. So we saw some beautiful natural places. It went to prisons, it went to schools, it went to parishes. We saw, you know, the church and the cross in all sorts of places, yeah.
Yeah, I can still remember exactly what I prayed for when I touched the cross, and that's the power, I guess, of that cross when it journeys around the host countries. So you are a missionary of God's love. Tell us, for any of the people that might be out there wanting to know more about them, how would you describe your order?
Yep, okay. Who's met an MGL before?
I get to work with one.
You do too. Lucky guy. Gets to work with one of our sisters. The Missionaries of God's Love are a new congregation in the life of the church. We began in 1986 in Australia, and we began in Canberra as well. You know, there's that bit in the Bible where Nathaniel comes up to, when he's told to come and check out Jesus, and Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Canberra?" Well, the MGLs come out of Canberra. So we began there in 1986, and we have both brothers and sisters. I think we're about 25 priests, and there's about, I don't know, 30 or 40 guys training, and the sisters, there are about a dozen or 15 sisters, I think, too. Our mission is to work with young people and the poor. So we spend a significant part of what we do trying to help young people to encounter the person of Jesus, to discover his love. I love our name. Missionaries of God's Love, in a lot of ways, sums up everything that we want to be and who we are. If I'm having a bad day, I sometimes say I'm a mercenary of God's wrath, but I'm only kidding. So what we really want to do is just to help young people to discover what we have, which is, you know, the living presence of the risen Jesus, and in a particular way that happens in and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That it's the Spirit at work in our lives who brings us to that encounter with the Lord and who invites us into an experience of the Father's love for us. So that's the MGLs in a nutshell.
No, thank you. All right, we might throw to anyone sitting out there this afternoon. There's a big scary microphone just there, and you can come and ask Father Chris any question you might have. So I'll provide lift elevator music until anyone comes. It won't be very good. We've got someone.
Hey.
Hello, Father. How long have you been in the priesthood?
Yeah, so tomorrow I'll have been ordained 13 years. So my anniversary is tomorrow. Yeah.
Yay.
So thank you. Yeah. And it's been fun. We do 9 years of training, and then I've been ordained for 13. So it's been a huge adventure. I remember going, oh my gosh, have I made the biggest mistake of my life when I joined at the age of 19. But it's been an amazing thing, and I've loved it. It's been such a rich, rich gift and an amazing experience. It's been awesome.
Father, what made you want to become a priest?
I love that question. Pay attention, all the blokes out there. To be honest, I want to say first and foremost was that As I came to know Jesus personally, as I came to know that he was real, as I came to know that he was alive, that he wasn't just a historical figure, but that he was alive now, as that awakened in me, which was always an encounter with his love, I just felt myself saying, well, how do you want me to respond to that? What do you want me to do? And I was coming towards the end of school. So it's a question you're going to ask anyway, right? What am I going to do after I've finished school? And bit by bit, but kind of consistently, this sense started to grow in me of priesthood, that was the thing. And there was a particular passage from the Bible that really spoke to me. I read it probably 3 or 4 times, sort of accidentally over a very short space of time. And that passage was the calling of John the Baptist. And in that passage, it quotes part of the book of Isaiah, which says, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord." And I remember feeling as I read that, gosh, I think God's talking to me here. I think this is something that the Lord's saying to me, that this is what he wants me to do, to prepare a way for him. And so that's very much how I see my vocation, like that my job is to prepare a way for people to meet Jesus. I don't have to do that. That's God's business. My job is to introduce people to him. And so as I found myself, you know, I was scared about that, when I first started thinking about it. I remember wishing that the Lord at times had picked somebody else before I took the plunge, thinking, I'm not ready for this. I wanted the things that most people wanted. I wanted marriage and a family and all that sort of stuff. But God just kept kind of persevering with me and kept saying, this is what I want for you. And I'm so glad, because it's been so rich, so exciting, a huge adventure. It's had all sorts of challenges. I've been challenged in ways I never dreamed possible. But it's also been just amazing. And I think one of the key takeaways I'd love you to have from this is, do what God wants you to do. You know, whatever God wants you to do, that's the best place you can be. It's the best thing you can do. You'll be the best person, the person that God created you to be. Whatever it is, and don't be afraid to say, I want to do whatever you want me to do, rather than, here's my agenda for my life, God, here's what I want to do. Don't be afraid to say, whatever you want to do, want me to do, I'll do it. Because, crazy adventures happen when you do that.
Hi, I'm starting to think about the priesthood thing, but do you have much time and money to spend on hobbies? Because I have a really amazing hobby that I would be very upset to give up.
Great question. Thank you very much, Joseph. You know, so the mission, one of the things about the MGLs, the Mission is God's Love, is we take a vow of poverty. And I remember I really loved music. And I'm not a musician, as we've already established, but I really love music. And back in those days, I had a few CDs, but I mainly had cassettes, which you're probably not even sure what they are. But I had a record collection. And
I don't know what that is either.
No, right. So anyway, I had some music. And part of our vow of poverty was I needed to give that up before I joined. And I remember thinking, how am I ever going to survive without my, you know, my Midnight Oil CD and my cassettes of various other people, Bruce Springsteen or whatever. So what do I do with that, you know? And, you know, different kinds of priesthood, like if you join the diocese, you're probably going to take in your, if I'd done that and become a diocesan priest, I could have taken my CDs and my cassettes and things with me. But because of our vow of poverty, I had to leave all that behind. I want to say that I remember thinking that was hard, but I'm really glad that I had to do it, because what it told me was that I think hobbies are a good thing. They're not a bad thing. I think that having interests, you know, in our world, and, you know, whether it's art and music or whether it's, you know, all the different things you could be interested in, I think that's great. But what was important for me was to be able to say, I'm coming with nothing. I want to come empty-handed to God, and I want to say, with my lifestyle, God's enough. You see, I think one of the things about our world is that our world is addicted to stuff. Mm. Our world is addicted to consuming things. And so one of the things about being a consecrated person, so someone who's taken a vow of poverty, is you want to say, you don't need all that to be happy. You don't need all that to live a life that's rich and full. You don't need all that to live a life that has meaning and purpose and joy in it. And so I really wanted my life to say that. And I think that's a really important part about being a consecrated priest. So not, you know, diocesan priests are a little different, but if you're a consecrated man that, or a consecrated woman too, that vow of poverty says, God's enough. And I really wanted to say that with my life.
Mm. I've got time for one more question. If there's someone out there with a burning question, great.
Just while she's coming up, you know, if you want to join the Missionaries of God's Love, come and have a chat to me. I'd love to talk to you.
Where's your stall?
So our stall is just over the back there. Head over. The brothers and the sisters will be, you know, checking it out. So they'll be happy to talk to you. So come and have a look and have a listen. Hear a lot more about our mission and our way of life.
Hi, Father. You talked about being open to what God's plan is for you and working out what that sort of is. So how did you work that out, and what God wants of you?
Yeah, great question. I feel kind of lucky, because I wrestled with it and all that sort of stuff. And I remember I had a very significant kind of experience, and I want to share that with you. It doesn't always work like this, but when I'm thinking about it, I'd finished my first year of my law degree. I've been going out with a girl. We'd broken up. I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer. And we went, I'd gone out for dinner with friends. And I came home and I had an English essay to write for uni. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And so I had a cup of coffee to stay up so I could write the essay. And then I thought to myself, this is stupid. I never work well at night. I should just go to bed. And so I did. But because I'd had the cup of coffee, I'm wide awake. I was lying there just utterly awake, wanting to sleep. And I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't praying. I wasn't trying to work out what to do the rest of my life. But I just felt this wave of love. It's the only way I can really describe it. And it really came, it really began at the bottom of my feet and came up. A wave of love. And then the next wave was just this deep sense of, this is what I want for you. I've been thinking about it a heap. But it was just this is what I want for you. And I felt in that moment completely free. I felt like I could have said no. But I felt like that would have just been the most stupid thing, given that experience of love that I'd had. So it was off the back of that where I went, I need to do something about this. And I went and talked to one of the priests. And fairly quickly from there, I moved into the process of becoming an MGL. I want to say that that's my experience, and different people's call is different. Talk to any priest or religious in the room and they'll give you a different story to the one that I've just told you. But the things that I'd want to pull out of that is that I really think it's important to ask, because I think that sometimes we think it's like this massive mystery, like a puzzle to be solved. And it is a mystery, but God wants you to find your place in the life of the church and in the world. And so to really ask, number one. Number two, sometimes you get big graces like that moment, but they always have to be kind of tested out by giving it a go, by not being afraid to step out and have a shot. To start in what we call a pre-novitiate or a first year of priesthood, that's not a big deal. It's just the next step in the discernment kind of process. So I want to encourage people, don't be afraid to give it a go. But a big part of it is you'll get a growing sense that this is right, that this sits well, that the circumstances of my life are coming together. We like to, in the missionaries, to talk about the word, the conspiracy of the Holy Spirit, because the word conspiracy means a breathing together. And so it's like God's breathing together the circumstances of your life to put you in this place. So I've probably talked for too long. I want to just finish by saying, just be open to it. I really want to encourage you. What an amazing thing to spend your life helping other people to encounter the person of Christ and helping to transform the world. You know, I became a priest in part because I wanted to change the world. And I really believe that the way the world gets changed is by love. So be open. Don't be afraid to really give it a go.
Let's give a big thanks to Father Chris Ryan, and thanks so much for sharing with us this afternoon. Cheers.
Thanks, everybody. It's been great. Thanks for listening.
That was a conversation with Father Chris Ryan, MGL. This conversation is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.